Some of it you gon' like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is Truth Brothers Radio.
That's more like it.
If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, then the truth is in you. Truth Brothers Radio. Happy Saturday, snowy Saturday, everybody. Hope y'all are having a good time, ready to talk about a little football with us. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And to join the conversation, you press the number one. Even though we're on our little mini vacation, if you guys want to hit us up on our email for any show ideas, comments, or whatever, we want truth at att.net. And of course, you guys know by now, truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
There you go. And we got the chat room open. Anybody can walk right on in, talk a little football with us.
Right.
Down. How's your vacation been going so far?
Man, I'm loving my vacation, man. I am absolutely just, that's where I'm at right now. I'm living.
I'm with you. I'm
no worries. Just, hey, we ain't got to, hey, man, the show's due. We got to come in and off work. Nah, it's just, hey, man, what you doing Monday? Nothing. Not a thing. What are you doing?
Right. Yeah, no, I've been enjoying it. Our last hiatus really wasn't a vacation for us. We was getting the studios built, moving, all kind of stuff happened. Mm-hmm. Got real busy. This one is actual.
But no, when we come back though in January 2014, I'm telling you, we're coming back so. I don't even want to say so right. We're coming back better than I think we're going to come back ever. So. Be in tune. Be ready. Truth Brothers are coming to deliver the only way we can. Raw and rough.
Right. All right. So you ready to jump right into it, or you got some shout-outs?
I mean, real quick, you know, lost a legend over the past week. You know, Nelson Mandela passed.
Yes.
So we definitely want to, you know, just pay homage to the man's legacy, his memory, and whatever. You know, I don't want to say whatever like that, but... Definitely. Real quick.
Yeah.
Something bothered me at work the other day, and this is crazy. I just thought about this when I was thinking about Mandela. But the school curriculum is not really giving them African American history to a point where I found out that they're trying to make slavery as if it was a volunteer experience. And that, like, blew me when I found that out, because I had to do some research on that. And they're taking all of Afro-American history and all of that thing out of the school curriculum and just, you know, shoving U.S. history. So even if they do, just real quick, even if they do whatever, it's not the school's responsibility to let them know their heritage. They really won't teach them their true heritage. That's on us parents and even regular people to just, you know, inform our youth of their heritage and their rich history. That's pretty much all I'm going to say about that. We'll get into that in February.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I think that'll be a good topic. We got a lot of guests that's going to be coming in 2014. A lot of surprises. Man, we've been putting work in, and we're going to have a lot of fun next year for sure.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. All right, now after that, I think we were starting this season off, but before we get into that, we want to go ahead and do your thing.
Yeah, let's. We had our special guest. It was supposed to be both of our dads on the show, but your dad had to work.
Yeah, take care of business.
Business had to get taken care of, but my dad is here, so I want everybody to give a nice round of applause to my pops, Ray Gage.
Amen. Announcements.
What's going on with you?
Hey, everything is good, man. I'm just sitting here looking at the sunshine and the clear skies and 50-degree weather in Las Vegas.
Throw it out.
Yep, throw it out there. Just run it in our face.
Look, any snow you can't use, mail me some. I need some for my iced coffee.
There it is. There it is. It just bees like that. As
right,
a
right.
Coffee.
Winning in the desert.
Well, hey, man, it's all good. Life is great. God is great. I got great people in my family, and my son is especially in my dreams every night.
That is nice.
That is nice. I know Roger could love that.
Yeah, right. The only son I was talking about, his first initial is R.
Let's talk football.
Okay. So,
let's jump in it. 818-514-1200 number if y'all got a comment. Let's just get right to the crust of the meat here. Where do you stand on Jay Cutler?
Well, if I'm on, I can say this. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. This guy done came in and showed he can run the team. He don't throw in the crowd. He thinks the game. He don't hold the ball too long. Now, why would you change?
I agree to an extent to what he's saying. The reason I say to an extent is because I don't fit one. You signed Jay Cutler initially because you thought he was an all-star quarterback. This and in my opinion, he's still an all-star top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Does Jay Cutler hold the ball a little too long? Yes. Does he try to squeeze in that little tiny window of getting to Marshall or whatever? Yes, he does. The thing is, if Josh, and I'm talking about the one that we have now, if Josh was truly a star-worthy quarterback, he would have still been in the league before the Bears went and picked him up. Now, it's taken nothing away from Josh's capability
sure.
and what he's done. He, to me, has done a great job, and he deserves to have a long-term backup quarterback to Jay Cutler for a while.
He should stay.
He should stay. The reason is, if Jay goes down again, we know we have a competent backup quarterback where you're not worried about, oh, I've never seen this dude before or whatever. So you don't want to get Jay. You're not going to have Jay Cutler as a backup quarterback. That's not going to happen.
No.
So if you tell Jay, hey, man, we're going to keep you, but we're going to let Josh start, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Jay's going to end up leaving or whatever.
Yeah. No. You're all right. Jay Cutler is your franchise quarterback. Jay Cutler, since he's been here, holds the majority of the quarterback record for the Bears right now, and that's because the bar was set so low that, you know, a retard could pretty much set those records. But he's the best quarterback you've ever had. When he set all those records, you had Webb, Jamarcus Webb, protecting his backside, his blind side. The reason he's hurt and he's broke is because the Bears broke him. You broke him. You put him back there. He had your number one receiver is Devin Hester when he got there.
Yeah.
And he still broke records. He still went 7-1 with a torn up line. And he still has a winning record. The man is the best quarterback we have had, and we haven't seen a great quarterback in franchise history with the Bears like Josh McCown. This is no disrespect to him.
No.
But the record speaks for itself. He's been in the league 11 years.
13
years, and he hasn't blown up. He fits this system.
Yes.
I'm glad he fits this system.
Absolutely.
It's great that we have a head coach who knows offense so well that he came in one offense.
Well, you know, the head coach, I call him Mountie because he's suspect to me. I mean, some plays he makes and some plays look like he cowards. You know, if you second down and 7 and you don't trust your line enough, which is a great improvement, believe me, truly improving with the two rooks and the trades they made is a great mind. If you can't get 2 to 3 yards to get closer to the field goal and you're kicking out, with a 2-7, lose that game, which could have put us a game up instead of being tied. This guy, he's a little suspect. And right now, the Bears have to shoot out to win. They got one of the best offensive games in the league. Two receivers, 1,000 yards, running back, 1,000 yards, tight end, great possession guy. You can't trust these guys. I don't know what to say.
No, he does have a point, and that was a mistake. I agree that was a mistake. But he still, this is his first year. He's got the big chair for the first time in his career. And, yeah, there's a couple of mistakes. But we can't say that Mike Dick ain't never made a mistake. We can't say Lovie Smith ain't never made a mistake.
No, that this thing is about – well, we've always said that about Lovie. But the thing about Lovie and Dick is Lovie and Dicker have been to that big game. And it's not saying to do time.
First
right,
year.
But
he's been, if that's the case, he's been to the big game with the Raiders
and that's what I'm saying.
See, he's making big time decisions. I agree. I think he pumped out on that.
Right.
But his whole arc overall this year, I'm not upset.
I can't.
We gave him 8-8.
Yeah.
We said 8-8.
I said 9-7. But this
okay.
Game, right.
Either way, and he didn't expect the defense to go belly up. The OPN defense went bad. Everybody's been predicting that to happen for about three seasons now, and it's finally happened. So now I think the future is bright. I think his future is bright. And, again, Lovie went to the big game, too. He also lost the game in 11 seconds.
True.
Yes. So it happened.
I mean, and that's the thing. They were wondering how, like, after a while, we have always been like, we would start a season, we was like, the one thing we never have to worry about as a Bear fan is our defense. We was like, oh, we knew our defense was straight. Our defense was cool. Our defense was straight. And this year was probably the first time in as long as I can remember where I was like, I don't have to worry about the offense.
Exactly.
And I was like, the offense has done everything it needs to be done to, and I think I said this when we started the show, like, I could see us being in the top 10 as far as offense. Right now, you have best receiving core in the NFL.
Yeah.
Your one or two receivers are leading the NFL. And by the way, pay Alshon Jeffrey now. Just lock him up, get him out the way, because that dude's your future. He's your future number one receiver. That's happening. Just get it out the way. So, and that's what goes back to the system. You have the reason we're not worried about the offense like that, and the defense is kind of struggling, in my opinion, is because you have a offensive-minded coach who knows how to play offense, who is proven from what we've seen that for the first time, you're putting up 30, 40 points a game consistent, not, oh, we drop 40 here, the next week you're dropping 9, and,
right,
you know, whatever. It's been consistent, 28, 25, 30, 35 games like that. So you can put up numbers now. And that's with two quarterbacks. One all-star, one who's been here for a minute, who stepped in and, as we said, who looks like an all-star quarterback because he fits the system. It works for him. And I believe now that the coach we have is truly a quarterback coach. I do believe.
And one thing I don't want to see, I don't want to go back to the days of having a game manager. I don't. I want a real quarterback. Jay Cutler is a real quarterback. Does he have problems? Sure he does. Did we help contributed to a lot of those problems? Yes, we did. This guy has shown that he can put an offense together. He can develop quarterbacks. Let's see what he can do with Jay.
Exactly, because you got to remember, Jay's fresh as a love year.
Fresh.
He's fresh as a love year. So,
with fresh off of, this is the first time he hasn't had to worry about his line just getting him killed.
Right. So, I mean, to breathe on, to have somebody breathe on Jay Cutler's neck. Yeah, he's going to flinch because he's used to Jamarcus Webb covering the side he can't see.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I mean,
if you can make the argument to me that Pound could have came in here with Jamarcus Webb and the boys and did this, I want to hear that argument.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not, you know, Jamarcus Webb, he was a bonehead. And he could not play. And Lovie should have seen that the first 2 years he was there. The point I'm trying to make is, a high school coach, you've got 2nd and 7. The clock is winding down in overtime. This is a standard play that any coach would have made to get closer to the field goal. That play might cost us. It probably will. I'm just saying, when it came time to do the offense, he pumped out.
Yeah, I agree.
We all said that. Like, I mean, I didn't get why you would – I didn't understand why that they would go ahead and not get closer when you have plenty of time. You got two more downs left. But we'll get right back into this, a little bit more football talk, man. Truth Brothers Radio. We'll be right back.
Candace from Truth Brothers Radio. As you may know, for 2012, Truth Brothers Radio has received two Jordan McHale Awards for Best New Show of the Year, as well as Best New Group or Duo, and we couldn't have done it without you and your continued support. Keep listening to the Truth Brothers live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com or call into the show at 818-514-1202 to listen and give us your questions or comments. Missed an episode? No worries. All episodes are archived on our Blog Talk Radio page, Facebook, or you can download episodes for free on iTunes. Be sure to check out our clips on YouTube and share them with your friends and family. Again, thanks for all the love and support as we keep doing our thing. Peace.
Truth Brothers Radio, we're back. We're talking football. We got our special guest, Ray Gage Sr. on the line. And we talked about the Bears right now, and we're about to get to the playoffs. So I'm going to ask you, gentlemen, this. Are you really, if the Bears make the playoffs, what do you think they would do in the playoffs, number one? And if they don't make the playoffs, is that considered a failure?
Well, if they make the playoffs, it's going to be the same song yesterday. It's a shootout. Father Time caught up with the defense. And Father Time catches up with everybody. You got to see Father Time coming. If they don't make the playoffs, it don't change a thing. I give Trestman McBowney his dues for the offense. You got to get a defense with some young boys that can play, some veterans that can play, some veteran leadership so that the young linebackers quit overrunning the same play consistently. So I give him his due for the second year. You got to work on defense. You know what time it is on defense? They can't stop a snowman. What we have to do, whether we make the playoffs or not, is to work on the defense because the defense is done.
Yeah, that's a point. My thing that I want to say about that, if the defense, two things. Real quick, let me say that. One, the problem that I see with the defense is that they aren't playing to the young boys' strength. They don't tell these young dudes to think. And it's wrong to say that. You're asking them to think. That's not their strength. Split the dude. Because they don't know how to think and hit gaps. We've seen this. It's no mystery. So use their strength. Their strength is their speed and their agility. That seems to be the only way that they can put pressure to a pass rush. I mean, the run, they are, I don't understand. The problem that they have is the run. And it's because the lack of discipline when it comes to the gaps. Mm-hmm. So use, have them blitz. Have, to me, blitz. I mean, because you got average. I mean, they for the. I think they set a record for most consecutive 100-plus games of rush. Like, I think they had six straight games where they somebody rushed over 100 yards against them. Mm-hmm. And that was an NFL record. And then, to me, though Minnesota was a bad team, you know coming into the game, it's like when anybody played the Bulls. They knew what we have to do is stop Jordan. Right now, Adrian Peterson is the Jordan of that NFL because you know when you play Minnesota, you don't have to worry about anything else but stopping Adrian Peterson. And he ran for, 213 that game? I mean, you know, whatever. But you knew that what you had to do, and you couldn't do that. So that's neither here nor there.
Yeah,
but about the playoffs,
the defense is in shambles.
Yeah. About the playoffs, they have a good chance of making the playoffs, though. Who I said to take the division is what leads the division. I picked Detroit to win the division when we talked about it at the beginning of the year.
Right.
I said Detroit, for the first time, has a complete team. It's not an all-star stellar team, but they're complete. Whatever they're missing, somebody else picks up for. And the only thing I said again, the only thing that they were really missing was a run game. Reggie Bush provided them with enough of a run game to where they're able to make moves. Hence why they're on top of the division right now, and they swept the Bears this year, and they have a 4-1 division record.
Right.
Crazy.
You're dead on point. But getting back to the Bears and the playoffs one, I don't think the Bears is going to make the playoffs. I don't think them getting past Detroit. A tie don't cut it. You lost all the tiebreakers. You're not getting into the wild card. You lost all the tiebreakers in the wild card with every team that's contending for the wild card right now, maybe with the exception of Dallas, which that game Monday, nice to see, really enjoyed. I mean, when your favorite team, every time the offense takes the field, they score, you rarely get to see that. So that was a treat. But they just beat a defense that was more pathetic than theirs, and I didn't think that was possible. And they even still ran for like one. They dropped 150 yeah. running on them.
Yeah.
And they abandoned the run in the second half.
Yeah.
So, gap discipline is a problem for the defense. They're too young, and they got caught up in their own. I don't want to say they got caught up in their own trap, but they said, "Hey, we got a decent defense." They wanted to make the veterans on that defense feel comfortable when the new regime came in and said, "Hey, we're going to run the exact same thing y'all ran last year." They were accommodating. And the old guys got old, Lance Briggs got hurt, and everything turned sour. You don't know what defense he would have wanted to run.
Right.
He was trying to be accommodating
right.
because of the situation. So
I think
the future looks bright. I think he can fix the defense.
Yeah.
And if you can have a team that like number 5 in the league on offense, number 12 in the league or 15 in the league in defense, you're gonna have a contender.
Yeah. The thing is, I think when he came to the Bears, the reason he didn't focus on the defense like that is because last season the defense was okay.
Exactly.
You didn't have to worry about
exactly.
the defense. So when he came in, he was like, "I'm going to fix what's wrong." It's like you have a car, it got a slow leak and it got a flat tire.
Exactly.
The slow leak, I can get to that, but
exactly.
I have to fix the flat tire. So that's what he did. He went in,
exactly.
he was like, "I'll just put a little patch or whatever y'all been doing for the slow leak, but the tire has to come off."
And
he did what he had
to do. And it's the NFL. These are the pros. He had to give respect to the veterans on a team. He don't
right.
want to lose that team by coming in, and they were already scared that someone was going to come in and tinker with everything on the defense. The
right.
defense is saying, "Hey, we're good. We're
right.
we're straight."
Right.
And he came in and respected that, and it came back to bite.
Yeah.
But what can you do?
Well, I agree to that. Now, Melton got hurt, and he was a defensive lineman. That hurt us. The backup got hurt. But when Briggs went down, then you lost the brain trust because Briggs would have him in the right position. So what hurt them more than anything was Briggs going down because you can't call plays on the defensive line. Your linebacker's got to take care of that. And when Briggs went down and the other guy went down, you have nobody to call and say, "You have nobody diagnosed to play." Instead of reacting and reading They got to learn to read and react, quit overrunning the play. But when Briggs went down, that killed them. But that can be fixed. Focus on the defense. The offense is good. Your flat tire is the defense.
Yes, you're absolutely right. For the first time,
yeah.
The only thing you need to fix now is your slow leak.
Fix the flat tire,
right.
and the slow leak blew out
right.
on the expressway. So
exactly.
That's what happened.
See, on your defense, here's a couple things I want to say about that. First off, Conte sucks. Let's just be real.
That's nice because that was your boy.
Yeah, Conte was. I had such high hopes and thought he had such an upside till Conte just. You know what Conte is? Conte is brain and football smart. He just don't have the ability and the agility to do what his brain tells him to do. That's what it is. He has his brain to say, there you go. His brain can say, okay, the ball is going to be thrown here. I've calculated it. I know the diameter. I know what angle it needs to be at. Feet, get me over there. And his feet would say, well, I don't know. So that's the problem that he has. Where,
right.
And he doesn't have great coordination.
Right.
The Redskin game where RG3 lobbed the ball in the air past Tillman and to Conte, and the dude just said, excuse me, Conte, while I grab this, was I didn't understand that at all, but Conte ended up on his back, and the dude ended up in the end zone with the ball in his hand. That's neither here nor there. Two, I like Boston. I like the upside of Boston. Has great potential, and I'm saying this today. Boston has great potential to be a future leader on your defense. The only thing that I would have done differently is not brought in Anderson to teach Bostic, and Briggs is a great linebacker. But to me, for Bostic to learn under, I would have rather had Urlacher teach Bostic as far as learning behind him and say, hey, you know, because Briggs is good. I just believe that Urlacher was a little smarter when it comes to that position. As far as the linebacker position.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
Yeah, Urlacher is also a jerk. You don't even know if he would have taught him. You don't know if he would have taught him.
I believe
he was new regime coming in up, and then he wanted started. No one was going to pay him no superstar pay.
I believe that.
Well, again, if he really cared, he would have taken the retirement money and stayed on the team to teach, or as you say, to help out. But he didn't. He wanted to still be a star. And then when the league said, "No, dude, you're old and your knees are shot," yeah, no, I don't see him. I don't see him playing ball like that. I don't see him being cooperative like that.
When it comes to Urlacher is a great player, and I don't believe that he wouldn't have taught this young guy. I don't think the Bears wanted to give him money. They keep him out like all Chicago teams do when it comes to paying the money. But the thing is, Briggs went down. And the safety and the free safety is the worst in football. Neither one of them guys is a star, and neither one of them guys is a backup. I've seen them overrun plays, McDonald's plays, can't cover. I mean, these two guys, when the defensive line went down, that hurt them. It only exposed their safety. These two guys are terrible. And if the Bears got to do anything first, they got to get some safety that is athletically enough and smart enough to make the play. These two guys together is like Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles.
Yeah,
right. All right, well, getting back on Urlacher, I mean, gentlemen, are y'all telling me that y'all would have paid Urlacher superstar money? Because that's what I'm talking about what he asked for. He wanted superstar money.
Here's what I would have done when it came to Urlacher. I would have tried to explain to Urlacher, like, come on. Like, that's... Let's be realistic, and I would have hit him with truth, but at the same time respected him as what he's done for the Bears. I would have told him, man, we respect you. You've been in the league 15 years. Look, this is what it is. You're asking the type of money that we would give to somebody who's 26, 25, 27 at the latest, and hasn't had the injury and been able to finish the season. Dude, you haven't played a complete season in three seasons. So why would I give you this type of money when you also renegotiate
3 years ago to get the money, and that's when you started getting hurt. Let's be real. This is what I can give you. I'll give you a year with an option to pick you up next one. Now, here's what, and in my brain, I know as a businessman, while I'm bringing him back, he can teach the kid who I want to be the future middle linebacker for my team. And who better to learn under than one of the great linebackers that you had of this generation? I mean, outside of Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher is next.
Yeah.
Let's be real. So who better to teach this kid than Brian Urlacher? That's what I'm thinking as a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Urlacher was not getting, and me knowing, if I'm on the out there inside, no team is going to give Brian Urlacher what he's asked.
But he believed that.
But that's why he won.
The Bears didn't say, hey, no, we let you go. He won. And I believe that they did come to him with that type of respect and reverence that you were just talking about. He thought he was going to get first-class money. And I don't think the Bears haven't been victorious with the dollars in a long time.
When it comes to the defense, no.
No. When they decided to get Cutler and they got Pepper, they spent money. They spent money.
I mean, the one.
So all I'm saying is when they went to get Brandon Marshall, they're trying to spend what's necessary to stay at contender.
Right.
Urlacher wanted top dollar. And the reason I know they didn't stiff him on the money, because nobody offered him any real money. The Minnesota offered him the exact same thing the Bears offered him, because that's what's important.
Right. I mean, it's a humbling. It's one of the things where you have to embrace the time and embrace
the old
you are. You got to understand that they're showing you respect by saying, look, we want you to retire a Bear. We want you back. We're going to give you, and I believe they did say, we're going to give you a year with an option to pick you up for the next one. You're guaranteed the money. You're not hurt. I don't care what you're doing.
Right.
You're
right.
Not hurt. If I said, look, man, 1 year, $5 million, you're not hurt. And what are you complaining for? I mean, you want 30. You're not getting 30 million.
Right. Exactly.
From nobody's going to get 30 for 4 years. You're not going to be in the league for
two with bad knees.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You're not going to be in the league 4 years. I don't know if it was Urlacher, or I don't know if it was his agent, or I don't know who it was who was may have been in this ear saying, hey, man, you get Megatron money. No, you can't. It's not going to happen.
You're Bumblebee, not Megatron.
Exactly. You're not even, you're Bumblebee before he flashed the new Camaro.
Right,
You're the one that Bernie Mac sold. So, I mean, at that point, you got it's up to Urlacher to realize that. But and to get back to the defense though, as far as the line, you like when your dad said when Melton went down, it hurt. But it's somebody else who came in who doesn't need to be there. And when we get back from the other half of this break, I'm gonna tell y'all exactly who I'm talking about. Truth Brothers Radio.
Shelly Perry, the man who brought you Jesus Is, presents Mama Saw Jesus in the Toaster, the new hit stage play everyone's talking about at the new old rebuilt Regal Theater next to the Currency Exchange down the street from Three-Fifths Bank, the bank for colors. It's the story of how one woman got up to make toast and found Jesus.
Oh my God. Jesus, is that you in there?
You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll bring butter. Chet Magazine says, this some bull here. King Magazine says, I've never seen so many big asses in my life. And The Final Call says, it's cooning at its best. Starring Loretta Devine as Mama.
Honest to God, somebody almost ran up with all of my stuff.
also Comptus Vaughn from the Parkers. You know him as Waldo. Sean Harrison from Family Matters. R&B sensation Howard Jewett as the light-skinned singer. Delicious from Flavor of Love. Wendy Williams as Bitter Mama.
How you doing?
It's a man, baby.
And in a triumphant return to the stage, Cisco as the Dragon Chaser.
I came looking for man's butt.
And as Jesus. Bullethead from the Steve Harvey Show. That's Mama Saw Jesus in the Toaster at the new old rebuilt Regal Theater, sponsored by 3/5 Bank, the Bank of Color. Get your tickets now. Bring the whole family.
Man, I saw this 4 times. I still don't get it. Who the hell is Sean Harrison?
A Shelly Perry production.
Praise Jesus, we write.
Brothers Radio, we're back. And we're back talking football with the true brother over here to my in front of me, Ray Gage, and his pops, Ray Gage Sr. Before we went on this break, I said I was going to say another problem that we had on defense that has to be addressed outside of our safety. And, you know, well, we'll get into that. But on your line, you have a terrible dude by the name of Wooten. Awful, man. John Wooten is one, like, he should be, like, well, maybe this. Maybe he's
playing out of
position.
You know he played out of his position.
Yeah, that's what
he's
I was about to say.
He's playing three technique, and that's not his position.
But
he did that because Melton went down.
And they were short on
their
tackle.
Empire went down.
And they were short
right
on their tackle. But the thing is, I was explaining to somebody, you cannot tell me that knowing that Wooten, even when Wooten was playing on the end, it was not like he was doing anything special. So why
better
would
than
you?
Shea McClellan.
No.
Shea McClellan is not an end, sir. No.
No,
way.
He's not an end, but he's still better than Wooten.
He's not.
Yes, he
not
is really
all
better than Wooten. Only problem I have with Shea is
you want Shea to chase a quarterback. Great. You want Shea to stop the run. You're asking a little too much.
You want Wooten to do it?
Wooten, better than him.
Wooten. Good best thing is putting them arms up and maybe get. I think Wooten might be cross-eyed, but the simple fact is, it's to me it's like he don't see the ball, and when he do, he misses it by that much. Nah, let me not. That's too small. He misses it by this much because he's. I don't want to say he's Hester by the brain, but
oh no, you just wow.
Wooten's not. Wooten's terrible, man. Who's terrible. You can address your corners coming up is going to be a problem. Now,
yeah.
Me and you we and you have a bet as far as will Peanut be back next year. That was our joint.
Right, but wait, I want Pops here to talk about Wooten and Shea McClellan and the end situation.
Well, let's put it like this. You could take the best defensive tackle in football, whoever that may be, and you can put him next to McClellan, and they're going to look terrible. This kid is terrible.
Thank
he's
you
a matador. He can't tackle, and all he can do is chase. This guy is horrible. Now, maybe he could have been a linebacker. I don't know. But as far as being a defensive end, he's too light. They run over him, and he has no technique on how to shed blockers. Wooten, I'm not sold on him, but I would have him before I'd have McClellan because Wooten is playing out of position, and that's by necessity. I
yes
think if you put him on in, he would be way better than the Shea guy. And the last thing I'd like to say is the Bears did draft a defensive end. I think his name was Washington. I ain't seen high and a half him. And he can't be no worse than McClellan because this guy is terrible.
That sounds like Charles Barkley right there, man.
Yeah.
that's terrible. Yeah. But I agree, but the thing is, they have put Wooten at the end. They have done that.
And they did that. They actually put Wooten and McClellan on one end and had Peppers on the other, which, if you got a choice. Now, when we were talking about playing out of position, McClellan's natural position was linebacker. And I thought because people were saying they drafted him as a replacement for Urlacher when Urlacher leaves.
Right.
But no, they didn't. And then I thought maybe over time they'd move him back to his natural position.
I think he's a weak side. I think he's a weak side linebacker.
Yeah, yeah. He's what Hunter Hillemeyer was.
Yeah, yeah.
He's exactly what Hunter Hillemeyer was, which I was like, man.
You get a sound middle. You get a sound strong side, and your job is just don't let no one get past you. That's your job.
And I believe at the time when they drafted him and they would have put him next to Briggs and Urlacher, he would have – at that time, you made Hunter Hillemeyer look good, like a star.
No, he was serviceable.
Hey, Hunter Hillemeyer, let me tell you something.
But, I mean, he's playing next to two great –
That's what I was saying.
So, yeah.
That's what I was saying. Like, dude, you put – if you could put me next to Jordan Pippen,
right.
I look great.
And that wise, his stats are good because where else are you going to run?
You're going to
run
it
right.
And that was the point.
This is the only shot we got.
You got a point to where you don't want to run to the strong side because Briggs there and Urlacher has great lateral speed. So you're not getting over there. If we got to run over to Hunter Hillemeyer's side, then okay, Urlacher can go lateral that way and Hunter. Slow him down. All you got to do is, hey, triple. Urlacher will come clean it up.
Hold him.
There you go.
That's all you got to do is hold. And he did that.
And he did.
That was his
job.
What I was saying. Hit him. Hold him. Let him go.
And that's what I was saying about, I believe that's what their plan was. They didn't do it, so they moved him to defensive end.
Right.
Now, when I saw them move him to defensive end, I was like, I was different. But the things I've seen from the kids, it's like, I may be wrong, and this is to you two gentlemen that I'm talking to. I believe we hold our ends to a certain expectation because we've had, you know, we've become accustomed to seeing what Peppers could do and what Peppers is. And even during the time when we had, who was the two big dudes we had stuffing up the middle?
Trailer and Washington.
During that time, we were shutting teams down and making them look good. You know, I mean, and our defense was actually in us games. That's, I believe we've become spoiled to a point where we may be looking at McClellan like,
I don't know. I'm not. He's just bad.
But,
gentlemen, let me say this. I'm going to give you two names, two big mistakes that the Bears made.
Go.
Israel Adonijé and Nick Roach.
Roach, I give you.
Is he? You wouldn't want Izzy back right now?
Roach?
Izzy. Israel is Adonijé. You don't want him back?
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, a mistake is letting him go, right? Him go. Yeah, I mean, like, you could have – Roach could go. Like, I was cool with Roach.
Yeah. Izzy,
but Izzy, you were wrong for that Israel Adonijé go.
I think the producer Supreme listened, and I'm sure she missed Izzy, too, so.
Of course.
Right.
The prince. But anyway, I truly believe with you with Nick with Israel Adonijé. Roach, I was, if you kept him great, if you did, no big thing.
But
no big
at the same time, Peanut going down killed you too.
Yeah, oh,
we
absolutely.
Had a lot of injuries, and Peanut going down killed you.
Absolutely. Here's the thing about, and I love Peanut. I do as a corner. He's probably one of the great corners of all time to me, and he's probably the greatest corner you've had as a Bear.
Yeah, I think he is underappreciated.
I truly agree with you on that. The thing is, one, the old catching up with Peanut too.
Yeah,
it really. But if you don't have Peanut back, even after this year, because we, like I said, our bet was, I think we had it, hey man, you know, somebody got to buy lunch or something.
Yeah.
But Peanut will be back next year. If he's not back as a player, if you don't have that dude on your staff teaching your corner, something's wrong.
Yes, sir.
Because nobody in the entire NFL gets the ball out of a receiver, running back, quarterback, whoever, like Peanut Tillman. Nobody punched that ball like Peanut Tillman. Be real. So that was just so he.
Well,
he
gentlemen, here again, I would say this. I think Tillman will not be back by the time it's called up with him. Like the rest of them, I would bring him back as a coach because he's the knowledge that he has. Is you can't beat it. And as far as Nick Roach goes, he could play all three positions. He had the mental intellect to call plays and get everybody in the right position. Adonijay could flush the passer,
yep.
Stop the run.
Yep.
McClellan, garbage.
I guess, you know what? He does make a point there because what he lacks in playing ability, Roach is knowledgeable in the game, and you need a field general out there once Briggs went down. You've got no field general. You've got no one to get people where they're supposed to be, and
You got the veteran linebackers that you got who were, you know, they were mediocre linebackers who know, I mean, they've been in the league long enough to know the game, but I don't know, for some odd reason, it's like they have mental farts when the game is actually going on to the point where they cannot know how to
Anderson,
get to your gap.
Anderson does all right, but Anderson, I don't think he was brought here thinking that he was going to have to be a teacher and tell everybody how to play when he just got there. I think
right.
He was supposed to be, he's like, hey, this just lengthens my career. Let me do my job.
Right.
He's a I'm going to do my job type of guy.
But see,
he can't step up and, all right, let me step
see,
up and lead.
Is, before
he may not be a leader.
There, when Anderson got there, I mean, he's already, it's almost like your instinct as big brother kicks in. If you know, hey, it's not my team.
Everybody.
No, it's not my team, but it's like, it's president, vice president, speaker of the house. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, president's been kidnapped. They got fight too. Speaker of the house, you're Morgan Freeman. You're in charge now.
Right.
This
right.
is what you have to do. Okay, well, I know enough to say, hey, little man.
And,
you
but
need
maybe
to be there.
You don't know. Maybe he is doing that. But you got like Major Wright. Man, I've been here. You just got here. I know what I'm doing.
But Major Wright is up
yeah.
there somewhere. Like, yeah.
I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
he's got a bunch of, it's a mess. That's all. It was like you say, the tire blew out. It's a mess.
Yeah, I mean, but see, I would have loved to have Adonijay and if I don't know if they'd still been able to do it,
yeah.
but Ratliff and Adonijay together.
Yeah, when Melton went down, you missed Adonijay right there. That's,
yeah.
You looked over at that bench, and it was a big empty spot saying, yeah, we messed up.
True. But, I mean, imagine your team with Melton went down or whatever, and you got Adonijay and the Pro Bowler Ratliff. Like, you're good if you've done that. So, you give me Adonijay, Ratliff, and Peppers, I don't care who you put on. You could put Root or McClellan on that other side. I wouldn't care. But because you got three people who I know can put some pressure on the pass and can put some pressure when they ain't can stop the run, at least before it breaks past the linebacker. Because leaving everything up to Conte to stop, I don't even want to say even Peter, leaving him to stop the dude who can't Steven Jackson.
Right. But you also got to realize that when the reason that Conte is getting exposed so bad is because your first interior line and your second line is getting blown through.
True.
Peterson is supposed to never get to Conte to expose
how
bad
he is.
When
your safety is leading your tackles,
right.
that is a
That's
problem.
A problem.
But at the same time,
and Conte has had it good for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Conte was like,
he's
as long
been living
as
it up for a long
there,
time.
I'm good. I got Melton Urlacher. Hey, all I got to do
Briggs,
is look.
I'll never see anybody.
All I think I'll sit back here and write this sonnet.
Right.
So
right.
At the end of the day, yes, but that's the thing. I'm happy Conte's getting exposed because that shows that you need a true safety. Like at a time when Mike Brown had to be back there. And Mike Brown was like, hey, if you come back here, it's cool. I can at least stop you from getting to the end zone.
Yeah, but he also knew enough about the game to make sure everybody – he was a field general.
He looked up and said, hey, move
over. He was telling Earl, hey, play up, get over here, because I don't want no one getting to me.
Right.
Let me get y'all straight.
My knees could go out at any moment. Please get up there. I got a good four games before it's over for me.
All right. So before we get ready to go into the second half, Bears.
Well, you know, guys, let's put it like this. Conte has always been garbage, but it never showed. He don't have the angle. He don't have the speed. And to me, he's got a little chicken left in his heart because this guy missed more tackles than a man in a wheelchair. So I just don't understand what's going on. But I do understand that Trestman is seeing what he needs. Now, with this free agency coming up, free safety, strong safety, and defensive linemen. I think the linebackers aren't as bad as what they show. They're just young and inexperienced and don't have somebody like that to put them in position. But your safeties has got to be tough and strong and mentally strong. These two guys are horrible.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So, again, Baird, playoffs, yes, no. What do you see?
Well, I see that even if the Bears make it, they're gonna get wiped out in the first round because in the playoffs you got to stop the run.
That's right.
You got to stop the run and make them throw the ball. And the Bears are not capable of stopping the run. Anytime Ray Rice, who never had more than a 10-yard run, can run on you for 135 yards, you got a problem. Every back in the NFL can run for 100 yards. Every back don't get 100 yards. Every back that plays the Bears get 100 yards.
Right.
Peppers, I ain't blaming everything on him because they double him, and once you double him and you get to that second string, they're going to overrun the play. Conte going to miss the call. Major Wright is going to blow the tackle, and the guy's out to the races.
No doubt. No doubt. And he's right. I mean, you don't look historic, great offense with the tremendous air attack, your Marinos and your Elway back in the day that just had these tremendous air attacks. Dan Fouts back in the day, go to these great records, get in the playoffs, and get torn off because you have to run the ball. The playoffs is all about running the ball.
Well,
and the Bears, if they make it, they're going to get crushed.
Well, two things. One, the Bears can run the ball. They just can't stop the run. That's what
I'm not talking about their offense.
No, because you said that you have to run the ball.
I'm saying, but their defense.
Yeah.
If you think that your strategy, if we make the playoffs, is going to be a shootout, you got trouble.
It's true. Now, as far as me saying, I believe that with Ratliff coming back helps them when it comes to the run. It does help them as far as that. They're going to have to adjust to they brought Ratliff in strictly to stop the run. That's what they got him for. He was a Pro Bowler in Dallas, and that's what he did. He stopped the run. The defense has to get adjusted to him being back, and I believe Ratliff is going to be the one who says, hey, man, move over. You have to get there. If you do, and I believe that's going to help them. It's bad that it happened with three games left in the season, but maybe it's gonna help. Bears make the playoffs. They make the playoffs because Detroit is gonna implode. That's what's gonna happen. They're gonna make the playoffs because Detroit's going to implode, and it's gonna come down to the last game the Bears has with Green Bay. That's what it's gonna come down to. But Detroit will go 2-1. Detroit will go 1-2. The Bears will probably go 2-1. The Bears will win out. I believe the Bears will
win out. They're going to win all four.
Three.
Okay. They're going to win.
They're not playing anybody. They're not playing anybody.
They got Philly coming up.
Really? Like,
Philly's better than us. Philly's better than you. Philly's better than...
Dude, you play teams that are better than you that you beat. The reason I say Philly is still... Philly's good. Philly's a good team. Philly's still on adjustment move to not dealing with Vic, though. They're still doing it. Your boy Fowl is over there. Fowl's doing his thing. I give you that. He ain't what he threw. None. No. What's an interception? Oh, I don't know. We're from Philly. He hasn't thrown one. But again, it's that any given Sunday rule. We lost to the Minnesota due to the any given Sunday rule. Your boy has not missed a field goal all season. He misses a 30. It happens. So Bears make the playoffs because Detroit's going to implode. It's not because they're going to do anything to get them there. Detroit's just going to implode. When they get there, they may lose first round. I don't see them losing the first round. I do see them getting out of the first but losing in the second. I do see that.
think that's pretty much because I believe at that point, Ratliff would have at least did enough to get them to say, hey, man, if you do this, you do that, we'll get there, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, as long as they play right, and I see them winning tomorrow, I see them beating Philly, the Green Bay game worries me a tad, hoping that Rodgers don't come back.
Rodgers don't come back. Detroit wins the division, though they're trying to implode. They don't want it.
Yeah.
They are doing everything they can to give it away. But I don't see the Bears winning the next three games. I see them going 1-2.
Beating the Browns.
I don't know if they beat the Browns. I don't know. I don't know where the one win is going to come in at. We'll see.
Okay.
But I don't see it.
Don't see Detroit going 0-3.
They're trying to give it away. But I'm gonna tell you now. If Rodgers come back, they're making a run.
Yeah.
Green Bay is gonna say, "Yep, you guys kept playing. We'll take this."
Right.
This does show. I think the head coach of Detroit gets fired, though. They fire him. Look, Cutler's down. Rodgers is down. And they should have ran away with this division. The Bears' defense is craptacular, but they can't run away. They should have ran away with this.
But no.
The reason Detroit should have ran away with this.
The reason I say that is because
Let Pops make a prediction, and then we'll go on the second half.
Okay, guys, I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. Cleveland is 50-50. I believe Cleveland will beat them. They got a good running back. They're going to lose to Philly because Philly got an excellent run team, and they can throw the ball. Anybody that's got a running back with one leg will beat the Bears.
Hey.
The Bears' defense will let them down. The offense will score, but if it's a close game and it comes down to stopping the run, the Bears are done. They might beat Cleveland, they might not. They will not beat Philly because Philly got an excellent running game. And if old boy is back for the Green Bay game, you can chalk that one up to a loss. The Bears might go 0-3 in these last three games because everybody knows you can run on them. The formula hasn't changed for weeks. All you got to do is run the ball and run the clock. If they run the ball, you can't get the offense on the field. So the Bears, I wouldn't be surprised if they lost all three. They cannot stop the run. And don't think that these teams know that they can't stop the run because they can't.
Yep.
No doubt.
And I think that's one reason why the teams ain't really game planning McCown. McCown ain't been game planned. Ain't no set up a strategy to beat him. They just like, hey, we can run on these boys. They'll move the ball. We're gonna run on these boys and eat up the clock and keep the Bears offense off the field.
Right. Right.
So you don't have to game plan him. But if you get rid of Cutler and you make him your guy for next year and you watch our teams game plan him, you might be looking at a different result. I'm tired of seeing Jim Miller's
in
that mold.
Yeah. But if you're saying that running that ball keeps the Bears off the field, it's a reason you have the 1-2. Because, yes, the Bears have been getting ran over. Like, we get that. But it's a reason that the Bears have the number 1 and 2 receiver in the NFL. Because even regardless of if you're trying to keep that offense off the field, you're still not doing it. Just points. But we'll get to something else about that Detroit thing I wanted to talk about on the second half.
Yeah, and then we're going to get around the rest of the NFL
and
some of the big stories that's been in the NFL, bullying and whatnot. We're going to cover a lot of stuff on the second half.
All right, True Brothers Radio.
Brothers Radio.
Do you find your daughter's friends attractive, but know they look at you as just a dad? Does the typing pool at work think of you more as a teddy bear than a tiger? Do you whack off in your minivan while listening to teen pop? You know, you'll be dead soon. You've missed out on so much. It's not too late to make a change. At the Midlife Crisis Center, we know you've made a success of yourself. Why are you sharing it with others? Why not enjoy it while you have a chance? What's holding you back? Cowardice. We'll get you to the other side of your despair. We specialize in real estate, divorce attorneys, mistress placement, plastic surgery, hair coloring and replacement, male fur coats, and much more. With a designer clothing store and sports car dealership on site, the Midlife Crisis Center will help you discover life while you still can. Come with your wife, leave with a sports car. While you've made a success of yourself, her chest has gone south. How can you have that trollop on your arm for a second longer? The answer is you can't. Ignore your children. Take yourself seriously. Visit the Midlife Crisis Center today.
Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers Football Special. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
Join the conversation. You press that number one. And as always, even though, again, we're on hiatus, but for show ideas and any other comments you guys want, hit us up at our email. WeWantTruth@att.net. Truth spelled T-R-U-F. Excuse me, I'm eating these goobers.
And the chat room is wide open. We got a couple of people in the chat room. There's guest numbers hanging out, making their comments. Yeah, thanks for hanging out. We got a very special guest. We got my dad on the line. And before we put him back, I just want to say, man, I'm really hoping Cutler has a good game. Please let the defense blow that game for you.
Oh yeah!
Don't you be the one.
If you do not produce, you know what's crazy?
Yeah, that he could throw 7 touchdowns and 1 interception, and they're gonna say, "But Josh threw none."
You know what's crazy? Cutler really has to come. Cutler can't even come out and go 0-3. Like, and he can't go 3-0.
Yeah.
He can't.
Well,
do
they
that.
Went 3-0 as soon as they got the ball.
Right, like
put Josh back in. Right now, Josh could run for Jesus in Chicago and win.
He could run for Kanye's daddy, and hey, it's true.
Yeah.
Josh West, that's his name, and that's not fair.
It's not. It's not. So
they're gonna be, hey, Jay Cutler. Right now, we got the rope, and that's not fair.
Yeah. They are ready to tie him to the John Hancock field and say, see?
And throw rocks at They are ready to bury
him. He only threw for 300 yards.
Josh threw for 350.
Yeah.
And let's just get it out. Chicago fans, if you're listening, we know you are. Jay Cutler is your starting quarterback. Jay Cutler has broken every quarterback record you've had. Not Josh McCown, whatever. But think back to the day when you found out Jay Cutler was coming to your team before he even threw a ball. We got Jay. We kicked our heels. We said, thank you, Jesus.
Yep.
We
yep.
did everything. Let's not forget that Jay.
We did everything would get him an offensive line to protect him.
Exactly. And we said Jay is that man. Jay Cutler is still that man.
That man
he just has
throws.
A great – go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, he just has a great person that if Jay gets hurt, and it's liable to happen because Jay has been hurt before,
And when Jay went down and we had that other dude last year, Haney, who came in for you. Yeah, Caleb and them. When Caleb and them came in and blew games that we was like, man.
All you needed to win was one game to clinch the division. And you couldn't do that.
At least you know now if Jay, your starter, goes down, hey. You got somebody who can win you. If you needed three games out of five, Duke has a great possibility of doing it for you.
Yeah.
That's
when Jay Cutler got here, the experts told you, he can make a lot of passes. He likes to fit them into tight spaces. He's more of a Brett Favre. We said a Brett Favre will take him. Brett Favre throws interceptions. That's what he does. But he also throws great touchdowns.
And Brett Favre gets W's.
Yeah.
He gets L's too, but he gets you W's. Brett Favre is a field general that won games.
Yes, with his big arm.
Yeah.
And yes, he was cocky and overconfident, but that was his thing. They rolled with him to a lot of great seasons and a Super Bowl win.
A few Super Bowls. So let's just put that in the door. Let's remember.
Well, guys, let me say this. The kids have already said that Cutler is a starting quarterback. So they're trying to keep the controversy out of it, which I think is a great thing. But we don't have to focus on Cutler. He's going to do what Cutler do. And if anything goes awry, then McGowan going to do what McGowan do. But let me bring this point to you guys about this defensive tackle, Radley. I haven't seen as much of him as y'all have. But the offense knows that if this guy is capable of playing any kind of football, all he's going to do is pull the fullback and the tackle, run over McClellan, and get the first down. He is a weak link, whether they got a defensive line or not. You ain't got to run up the middle. Just run the fullback to the right side. The guy is going to fall down. He's not strong. He can't shed no tackles. And he's got the same problem all over again. Until you get this guy out of there or put somebody in there that can play the position, you're going to have the same situation over and over again. The guy is a revolving door for running backs. They just run right through him and get the first down. The guy is terrible.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But in the same token, majority of their teams played against the Bears, majority of their big running yards has not came from outside. It came up. It comes from up that middle and off tackle, between tackle reps. So, I think it was when I looked up the stats, their outside running yards by average was only like four. It was like 3 or 4 yards per carry when it came to bouncing them outside towards your end. Majority of big runs that came against the Bears was between tackles and up and almost up the gut because they were able to move. They knew that they were two people who was in that middle were playing out of position, so they were able to move them out the way and leave them. That's why we were saying they're not shooting their gaps. They were just moving dudes out the way and leaving people like Peterson. Like run up the field. So when you're bouncing knocking McClellan, and you're not going to run Pepper. They really rarely run to Pepper's side.
Right.
They always ran over to McClellan. And knowing that's what the problem was. They didn't want, when we were saying that they didn't have any gap distance. Stay in your zone. Stay where you're supposed to be. So in case the play goes back the other way, somebody's there to hold it back. But to say they're out, I'm not worried more or less about them being bouncing outside like they were before. I can't say it happens all the time, but when I looked up the stats, the average that they were getting to the outside was anywhere between 3 to 4 yards a carry. That's typical in football versus up the middle where they were averaging, I think it was 9 to 10 yards per carry when they were going up the middle.
Right.
So that, I mean, if you're averaging a first down every time you run the ball, now you do 10 of those, you're in the end zone.
Right.
So, I mean, we'll definitely see starting. I can't say couple. We'll see starting tomorrow how they
Right. All right. So let's cover a couple of things that's done happened and is happening in the NFL. First thing, them benching Robert Griffin III, RG3, benching him for the rest of the season because Shanahan wants to get fired from his owner. How does that make y'all? How did that make y'all feel? How does that? How do you think he feels? And is it professional to? Because it really seems like he's more worried about getting fired than actually trying to do something with the team. And he's known as one of the great coaches. Do you think that tarnishes his reputation?
Well, I don't think it tarnishes. I think people are looking at this the wrong way. I think, first of all, what they did to RG3 last year when he got hurt, they rushed this man back before he was ready. I think Shanahan knows that. And instead of trying to kill this man's career in 2 years, I think he's actually trying to help the kid. First of all, RG3 is a special talent. But once you get hurt, you have to give yourself time to come back. And they rushed this guy back because all they could see is making the playoffs. He wasn't ready to come back. He was not ready to come back. And by that being said, now that I think Shanahan is trying to do the right thing, saying, look, rest this guy, let him get healthy. This year is a bust. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't doing nothing. And whether they fire him for that or not, I'm going to say hats off to Shanahan because I think he's trying to save this guy's career. You can't get hurt like that and then come back and think you can play the same way. They rushed him back too quick, and he's such a valuable player. I think he's really trying to help the guy.
No, I absolutely, totally agree with what you just said. The thing is, like your pop said, with an injury like RG3 suffered, you have to understand that does not – people sit out seasons and they have for the injury he suffered.
Uh-huh.
Now, at the same time, and considering the way RG3 plays like he runs like a running back and he throws. So your season is over. Your season as a let's watch it. Your season's over. You brought him back strictly because RG3 generates money for you. We know this. But at the same time, Shanahan is not trying to get fired. And the media is blowing that up as why are they benching RG3. Shanahan, we're on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
Shanahan has talked to RG3 and said, look, man, I don't know if this happened, but if I'm a smart thinking person would say, look, the season's over. I want you to be around for the next 10, 12 years. What we're going to do is, man, you have to let your body rest. You're still hurt. Regardless of what you say, you know your body, but I know this game. You're going to take pounding
like
after pounding after pounding where they can literally lock 7 years off of your career. I'm saving you, kid. Go home, rest. Be ready to get him next
year.
Don't
end up like Michael Vick.
Exactly. Be ready to hit him next year. You'll be fine. I know you love, and that's crazy. It's hard to tell a young kid who loves the game, hey, man, just sit down. And it's not like you can't play sit down. It's I know you want to play. You play hard. You don't play soft. And that's why if RG3 was the type of quarterback to sit back and think, and not saying he's a stupid, but sit back in the pocket like a true non-mobile quarterback,
right,
then maybe he would do that. But knowing that RG3 don't slide feet first. RG3 slide and jumps like, hey, we're going to get this first, and he leans in with head. There's many things that can happen to RG3 that can tack on to the injury he's already suffering through. Rest the kid and let the boy get ready for next year. That's it. If you were in contention, I could kind of understand leaving him in the game. But Shanahan knows we are not going to get a wild card. We're definitely not getting this division. Let's sit him down and let's just focus on next year.
I definitely agree. I think you guys called it just right. You ignored the media hype and the media storyline. I think y'all absolutely on point. I agree 100%. 100%.
I'm going to say this. RG3 and Derrick Rose, they can only play one way. They give everything they got, and that's the way they play. You got to let this man, it's a young man. Let him heal. He'll be fine.
And I don't want to sway real quick, but you people in Chicago kill me. Y'all kill me. y'all really
finna get on a roll.
Just give me a quick minute. I know this is NFL wrap up, but come on, man. You seriously, y'all all want to go in on Derrick Rose. Let's be clear. When was the last time you had an MVP since Jordan? You got a dude who was
Marcus
in his
Webb.
Early exactly. You got a dude who was in his early 20s in a league that LeBron was in who took the MVP, who was the youngest MVP of the NBA. That means something. That dude is a special talent. Quit this dude tore his ACL, and y'all want to call him a punk. Now, let's be real. I wish my dad was here because my dad tore his ACL and had to, and he doesn't run a basketball court every day.
Hit them poles, though.
But that's and those are not stripper poles. He hit
telephone
poles for a living. But the thing is, he tore his ACL and was laid up for a minute,
yep.
For a while, and that was after surgery and rehab. Derrick Rose plays in a league where he jumps consistently, runs consistently, squats consistently, works out consistently. All of these things, and y'all lived up to the hype of the return. I was the only one that I knew that didn't buy into the hype of the return because I'm like, y'all are putting more pressure on this dude to return from an injury that can end seasons and careers for people. Yes, he's young. Yes, he'll heal fast, but he's not ready. He doesn't have confidence in his knee yet. All of these things is happening, and y'all want to run this dude, say, trade Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose made a great point on an interview he said when a reporter asked him, hey, man, do you think that the Bulls, because you ain't playing, it's looking like you'll never get back. Do you think the Bulls should move forward and look to get rid of you? Derrick Rose looked at dude in the eye and said they could be stupid if they wanted to. And I believe that. If you trade Derrick Rose, because Derrick Rose will get healthy. It's just amazing that every time the Bulls trade somebody, when they play them again, the Bulls end up getting killed by that person they traded. You do not trade a player of the superstar caliber of Derrick Rose. You don't do it. You keep that kid. You lock that kid up. And you make sure that kid...
Guys, I totally agree, and I didn't mean to get y'all off the subject. The point I was trying to make is that RG3 and Derrick Rose play one way. They give you everything they got. Get this kid down and let him rest. He'll be fine.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I just got passionate and upset about that because I hear that all the time. The new Forrest Gump, you know, the boots that Forrest Gump had in the movie.
Right.
They said these are the new Derrick Rose shoes. Like all of these.
The brace.
With the brace.
Run, Forrest, run.
Yeah. Them.
Okay. Whatever. Be funny.
Okay. But anyway.
I'll say that. I had another question, but I'm going to leave that alone because we'll end up staying on that.
Okay.
Let's jump over to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Head coach.
Mike Wants Trump.
Wants to play, let's interfere with a runner. You like that? Did that do anything for you?
I love
and it. do you think that the league did the right thing? They fined him $100,000 and they took a draft pick away from Pittsburgh.
Too much.
That was too much.
Well, I think that was right on time because desperate times bring on desperate measures. And it was so obvious that what he's done, which I was kind of taken aback by that because he's one of my favorite guys in the NFL. And I think what he did is got caught up in the moment, and he knows what kind of year he's having, and he made a dumb mistake, and it cost him.
I agree, and I think the NFL was right on time. The NFL is not college football. They don't want to have this type of rash things breaking out across the league, so they made an example out of them and made an example out of them quick. You're a head coach in the NFL. You're supposed to behave in a particular manner,
right,
and take your losses
like
and take your lumps like a man, like a team. I mean, I was really surprised, too, because I thought he was more of a class act than that. I think you're right. I think he got caught up in the hype of the losing season and, you know, maybe wasn't taking it as serious as maybe he should have because you don't do that. And I'm glad that the NFL did that. They set an example to say, this ain't college. We don't play that.
The only thing I don't like is you punish the man, you don't punish the team.
He's the representative of the team.
And I get that.
He is the team.
But see, here's the thing.
He's the head coach.
I believe that you find him, whatever amount, if you want to find him a quarter of a million, do that. But to take away from the team, it's not fair to the team. I don't believe in punishing other people for what one person do. I don't believe in that particular. I believe that when that man acts up, like when Donovan Sue messes up all the time, when he steps on dude's hands and all this other stuff, they get sued. They don't get the lion.
Right.
So I believe that if you wanted to fine him whatever amount you deem necessary, I disagree, I was playing, but fine that man whatever amount you deem necessary. To take the draft pick from Pittsburgh wasn't right to me. That's all I'm saying. Okay. To take it away from the fans and that team wasn't right. He is a representative of that team, but he's still a man who the team didn't tell him to do that. He did that reaction on his own.
Right, and as a head coach, he's supposed to know better, and I think that's why they did it, because you are the Pittsburgh. You're the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You don't indulge in this type of behavior.
Yeah, but I believe that now if an owner, somebody do that, you take away from them. But a coach, you're still answering the people. So therefore, a general manager, a owner, somebody do that, yes, you find the owner, you take away from the team, because in all actuality, you're just somebody managing. You're managing my McDonald's. You're managing my McDonald's. If I spit in your Big Mac, and I'm the CEO. In all seriousness, man, you know, and I believe that Thompson should have been fired. I mean, not fired, but Thompson, whatever you want to do to him. If you want to do whatever you want to do to him, fine him. I'm not an advocate for fining or punishing other people for something that a conscious person, one dude, made on his own. That's
okay.
All I'm saying. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, guys, they did what was appropriate, because $100,000, that's a lot of money to me. That might not be a whole lot of money to them. But that draft choice hurt.
That's
and
right.
And that got the point across. Don't do this.
And they sent, and that was just not to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was to the rest of the league.
Right.
Don't do this.
Yeah.
Because if he would have got away with that, you know New England. The head coach,
Belichick.
Yeah, Belichick is known for, hey, we going to bend these. So imagine if we want to start the trend of interfering with players. Yeah, you don't want to do that. You don't
want to
do that.
I would have. The thing is, I'd have put such a – me, myself, let's just say if I'm whatever the commissioner's name is. If I'm him and I say, okay, we got to punish – you set the situation to what just happened at my lap. Like, okay, here's my thing. Hit him for $750,000. That's what I'm hitting him for. Now, I'm going to tell you why. It ain't getting across to the team, but, I mean, I think a coach, hey, man, look, they hit him for three quarters. All right, I'm good. I just don't believe that punch, because, I mean, yeah, the draft choice hurt, but maybe because of how I am, I'm not an advocate of punishing people for once. Like, if you mess up, that's on you. I'd be mad as a GM. I'd be mad like, yo, I didn't tell him to do this. Yeah, well, he's with you. That's not, well, all right.
But your analogy about the Big Mac, actually, if you own a McDonald's, and your dude, your head manager, is sitting in the Big Mac, as you say. McDonald's Corporation will take it out on you, the owner.
And that's what I'm going to say. Hey, man, I don't know this dude spitting.
I got you. I'm going to move on to something else real quick. Let's go down to Miami.
Okay.
And I want to talk. I want to get in the bullet. My dad has played for softball teams, man. He was like a legendary softball player in Chicago.
Okay.
And you played on basketball teams. I played on football teams, and I've been in the Marines. Every team has a culture of initiation. Every organization has cultures of initiations,
right
to passage, so on. But the incognito Martin story down there, I want to know y'all, how y'all, what was y'all take on the story? You know, we almost did it. We almost did a show on that. And what is the line between initiation and bullying, and what goes too far?
Well, you know, in a Miami situation, I don't know what the guy was incognito bullying, and the other guy was taking it. I mean, we all grown men, and we some big fellas out here. Now, to me, you know, we could have met at lunch, and I could have took care of all of that, especially when you go to talking about my mama. I could have took care of all of that. Now, what turns bullying? You bully me, and I'm scared of you. I just can't see two football players being scared of each other. To me, once you cross that line and I get personal, then I meet you for lunch. And then we do what we got to do. I mean, once I take care of you, the bullying is over with. You can only be bullied if you let somebody bully you. But a football team, and I'm like that a football player. Hey, man, you have to go cry to the press. To me, he should have took old Cognito out there and showed him what time it is. Now, you want to talk about my mama? We got to get out to the street. And I don't believe you can whoop me in no street fight.
You see where it come from now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's alpha male
but
talk.
That's what I was about to say. And you're in a league where as a grown man, you teenage joint, that happens, you know, whatever, because you haven't come into your confidence in your own. But you're a grown man with bills and pubic hair. You mean to tell me that you can't stop a dude? Hey, man, you're going to do this. No, I'm not. You can't make me do nothing. I'm a grown man, bro. I'm not. Now, as far as, hey, man, you're the rookie, carry the bag. That happens. That's, mm-hmm. Hey, that's your rites of passage, mm-hmm. And welcome to the NFL. But, hey, man, I want to take a picture of your wife naked. Like, we're not doing that,
I'm totally with y'all on that. But I think just because you're in a sport that kind of alpha male dominates, everybody on that team isn't an alpha male.
True.
Everybody in a group isn't an alpha male. And there's a whole lot of people in the league were saying a lot of stuff that my dad said. But there's also a lot of people in the league that was just mouthing to mouth without thinking. I think whatever this dude's mental makeup is, they say he's real smart. He's a more of an intellectual type. And just because he's got the size and the ability to play football, he may not have that, using just a loose term, that meatball mentality acrimat in his brain to rectify to play in that type of, environment. I think, Trust Me came in this year, and the first thing he said, we're not doing none of that hazing here. Not going to happen. You're professionals. Be professionals. I think if the coach came and told him, hey, toughen him up, and he's leaving these calls and this, that, and the other, and the dude isn't, as a coach, he should have recognized and came at Martin if he wanted him to be a better player, if that's what the toughening up part was about. Why didn't he come at his strength or come in a way that he's going to get it on an intellectual level? Instead, I'm going to have this dude, this is your bully now, he's going to get you straight. That don't work for everybody. And a good, what my dad just said, if my dad was on that team and my dad wasn't fitting in and they said, okay, hey, he's the new guy, and he'd have left that remark to my dad, and then my dad comes to him in the clubhouse and say, right, hey, we can go to the street, I'm going to whoop you up. And then they go out there and he gets whooped up. Now your team got another bigger problem.
True.
I think the way my brain is set, I'd have did what my dad said. I think you would have done the same thing. I mean, hey, man, you ain't gonna call my phone like you crazy. We gonna have a problem. And the whole knucker incident. Again, I think younger players or the black players in the league now, I think they let the word nigga go too far. I don't want to be in a locker room where everybody is just comfortable to be saying, nigga, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't know if Incognito meant it. I don't. Maybe he didn't. I believe they could have created an environment where he felt it was okay to do, because it happens a lot.
It does. And at the same time, though, man, you got to understand that regardless of who's saying what or whatever, it's like you said, he may not have been
had the mental makeup to be not even dominant, but to stand, we'll just say even stand up for itself. But at the same time, something's in you to say, I'm not going to let somebody do something to me. And by
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
I know you are. I'm just saying. And by that being the case, you, at a certain point, you're not, you just got to know, okay, all right, man. Like, you get to a point where the initiation is cool, then you get to a point like, okay,
that's enough. Right. This is the line. Like you said, hey, rookie, carry these bags. I got you. I'm with that. When I was in the Marines, we had a couple of rites of passage. When you get promoted, they take your rank insignia that goes into the pin on your collar, take the covers off the back, and they pound each one into your shoulder that you getting your new rank. You become an NCO in the Marines, part of the dress blue. There's a red stripe that goes down the side of your pants when you're an NCO. That's called your blood stripe. You get your blood stripe. People in the unit get to come. They knee you in the thigh, and you know that's you earning your blood stripe.
Right.
Now, as leadership, as team captains or NCOs, my job would be, okay, you just got promoted. We're gonna give you the initiation, but I don't want Mongo running his knee and dislocating your knee because you done lost your mind.
Right.
There's a difference between initiation, hey, this is all just ribbon part of the team, and stuff going too far.
Right.
Wrapping me up on a goalpost and smearing me in feces, like you said. One, I'm a grown man with pubic hair. I'm not getting smeared with feces, but I'm not grabbing and going to get no feces to smear somebody with.
Exactly.
Like, that's okay, when you come up with that idea, no, that's too far. We're not doing that. Yeah. You want to fill his Porsche up with jelly beans, have at it.
Right. Prime example. I mean, he went through it.
Tell
him what. Anthony Davis plays for the New Orleans Pelicans, number one draft pick for the 2012 NBA draft. Talking to him the other day, Damian Lillard plays for the Pelicans. I mean, not plays for the Pelicans. He got Rookie of the Year.
Right.
Now the rookies have an initiation they do in Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
He got a new car. They put, like, I think it was some type of stuff in his new car, and he opened it. Ha ha, y'all got me. Ha ha ha.
It all came out. It didn't.
Right.
It didn't damage
leather.
You didn't fill it up with feces and acid. You filled it up with jujube.
Right. I'm gonna get this out. Y'all got me.
Right.
Blah blah blah.
Right.
Thanks for this, guys. I love you. Bam. That's it. Like you said, they didn't go and say, "Hey, man, put 45 skunks in his car and let them sit in there and turn the pan on."
Right.
They don't do that.
I mean, and to me, it's certain things down in Miami as an organization, they knew what was going on. And if coach said toughen him up and you don't check that or you don't check his progress or anything and he's threatening the man's mom and all of that and he's getting worse, he's going further into a shell instead of responding the way you wanted to. You should have done something about that.
Like, you know what?
There's a difference between teasing and psychologically hurting somebody. We don't know nothing about him. You don't know nothing about his childhood. You don't know nothing about his makeup.
Right.
Again, Sugar Ray Leonard, one of the best fighters of a generation. You didn't know that he was getting molested by an uncle or was it his dad? He was getting molested by somebody.
Nice.
Right, but you didn't know that. But if you sit there and try to let's tease him or let's haze him and you trigger that and he starts knocking heads off, you know, there's a difference between, like I say, and at a certain point, you got to be professional.
You know, guys, let me say this. Bullying, it comes in all forms and in all phases. When I got into the sprinkler fitters trade, you had a four-year apprenticeship to go through. And you're supposed to do everything the journeyman tells you. You're supposed to be a good soldier. You're supposed to be this and that. Now, I'm the only black guy in our company in this particular job. And the first thing they want to do is tell black jokes. And I tell them, I say, hey, man, I ain't into that. Oh, well, you know, I say, I ain't into that. I say, if you want to tell me to do something that has something to do with sprinkler work, or go get this, or go get that, or go cut this, or go cut that. I'm down for that. But then black jokes, hey, man, ain't got nothing to do with sprinkler work. and I ain't about that. Now, if you think I'm scared, you better remind me to be scared, because I ain't the one.
And that's man business right there, though.
Right.
That's man in you saying, look, let me tell you something, man. I'll do my, like, we can joke. But like, it's like you said, with anything, you get a limit to, okay, man, hey, ha, ha, ha. Hey, man, let me tell you about the black guy who robbed the store. Wait, whoa,
right,
bro.
Right,
whoa.
Right.
Nah, we not doing that here.
Right.
Like,
and as a company, I want to have a policy that instead of say, hey, man, we can go out here, out back. I want an environment. You can just come in and say, hey, you know what? I'm new, but, you know, I don't appreciate the phone calls, or I don't appreciate this and that. And the organization's supposed to say, hey, okay, cut that out. Just
right.
Don't disrespect me. You don't have to do that.
He didn't
necessarily have to punch Incognito out to make the point. And you don't know. Maybe he did go to the front office. Des Bryant, when he was a rookie, he was in the front office of the Dallas Cowboys, and one of the general managers or something looked at him and asked him, yeah, for how long has your mama been? This is him as a rookie. That ain't cool.
But see, here's the thing. You can take that and be like, yeah, see, me, myself, I would have came back.
You got right, but you, that's your personality.
Right.
But I'm not saying everybody's personality can't
true.
Be like it.
Right.
Everybody's going to respond the way we respond,
right.
But that don't mean they're not entitled.
But
to respect.
I think the thing is, you can respond with a just see. Some people can do some things in front of a group to make you look bad, just to say, hey, look, we got them. But I've been in situations where I've been by myself, and they tried to rib or go in on me, and I'll come back with something so smooth that they're like, hey, I like this dude.
Right.
So if sometimes it's not even about you. They want to see if they can trigger this certain reaction out of
right.
you and make you want to fight or whatever. But being a dude, well, he might not have been quick-witted like that, but if dude's going in telling him, hey, man, your mama this, and hey, man, you's a dark knuckler, and all these other things, I don't know if you should have found a way around it, or if you should have went and told the gentleman. Me, myself, I'd probably start going in on him. I don't know. But
like I said, he's got a law degree. He said, you know what? You know, I'll just go be a lawyer.
Yeah, and he left
and
the NFL.
Because it wasn't that serious to him. I don't have to do this. My whole thing, kudos to him on that. He had something. Hey, he already did. He could blow out,
right.
whatever. I could be a lawyer. I'm happy making this 6 figures. Life is okay, whatever. That's fine, too.
Yeah, I mean, who don't have that degree, who have to go, hey, man, this is what I got.
Right.
You got to every day, hey, man, you got to wake up spooning to me. Like, that ain't cool. We're not doing that. Hey, guidelines, bro. You're not finna put me in no panty and bra set and have me out here
singing the college fight song.
No, we're not doing it.
Yep.
No. Y'all not finna, hey, we got to take this picture. Everybody's wearing sheets. And this rope got to be around your neck. We're not playing that game.
We're not playing that game.
So, yeah. it's cool initiation. It's cool fun. Like what I heard back in the day, as far as with all sports, they always had an initiation for the new guy, but it was never to an extent of what they're doing now. There was no,
and some of them players who were co-signing that you're not thinking. You're a meatball. Don't give me that
right.
because I don't care if I'm a brother. I'm not paying for your flight to Vegas. It's
right.
not happening. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care if you don't like me.
Right.
I don't care. I'm not paying for your trip to Vegas.
Right.
A dinner? Sure. The Bears said they had played a joke on one of the rookies, and they all went out to the pump room, had big dinner, and when this $3,000 bill came, it's like, okay, rookie. And then they laughed and said, no, man, we got you.
Right.
That's fine. But if they would have got up and left, said, all right, we'll get the bus and sub.
Nah, but I mean, if you got a, here's the thing. I know what we're making, whatever, and that might, a $3,000, I'm not going to run a $10,000 bill on a rookie. A $3,000
right.
bill, initiate rookie, pay for
my kid.
so, yeah, that's cool. That's all right. Now, hey, we're not doing this every week, but
you got one time.
You got hey, I thought we was all coming out. You don't get to sign the ball gift to the, you know, these are rookie initiation thing. I get that. But like you said, I'm not paying for your wife's breast implants. That's not happening, bro. I don't care.
I'm with you.
We're not doing that. So, bully. Not for every be a star.
Right.
Not for every.
Right. This is a good time. This is a good time to go ahead and take a break.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So let's get in. We'll get this last break in, and then we'll round out the football special, True Brothers Radio.
Brothers Radio.
If you join the Army, you'll get an education unlike any other. Every single day, people will try and kill you. That'll teach you lessons you'll never learn in school. Improvised explosive devices, snipers, suicide bombers. That's why there's never been a better time to enlist. In the Navy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now them poor grunts are eating sand in the 130-degree heat. We're catching cool breezes on the big ships, learning mad skills, and getting some. That's right. Navy's co-ed, baby. Our lady sailors bathe every day in co-ed showers. I ain't lying. Hell, out here with the big guns, we can practically guarantee you won't die. Unless you party too hard. Call your Navy recruiter today. We'll pay for college, and it won't cost you an arm and a leg. Navy. Because joining the Army is just stupid.
Just the playoff predictions. Yeah, you just made an accusation, man. That was you got to say that one and explain that
one.
We was playing the Fox theme that you just heard. And he says we coming back from the Fox break. Go ahead.
And I said, hey, this is racist. Hey, this is racist Terry Bradshaw.
Let me cut in before my phone died.
Okay.
I got to say this. I've had a blast. It's been great. And, Ray, I love you. Your buddy, you're a funny guy. And let me say this. I've enjoyed this few minutes. I don't know when my phone's going to die, but it's right on the way. And all I can say is, remember this, a bag ain't nothing but a big tub. Have a good day, gentlemen, and talk to you later.
All right.
All right.
Appreciate
it. Yeah, they playing like Cubs right now, too. So that's probably apropos. But go ahead. We're back. This is Fox NFL. I'm racist Terry Bradshaw. Why is Terry Bradshaw racist?
I don't know. He just got the look, man.
Yeah, but he's not.
We don't know that.
Yes, we do.
It's because he threw the Lynn Swan. That's why he's not a racist.
No. Okay. Lynn Swan crazy. He wants to be a teabagger or something.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's that man's life, man.
Whatever. I don't think Terry Bradshaw is racist.
Yeah, man. Jim Johnson. They racist, man. Jimmy. Jimmy's a racist.
Jimmy John.
Jimmy's a racist.
Really?
Look at how they talk, man. You got to look at the man. I know I could tell a racist by the
curl
they lip.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah. Racist state.
Really?
Yeah.
So Michael Irvin, Jimmy Johnson, hey, this is my guy.
Nah.
Emmitt Smith.
Nah. Nah, bro. You missing the point, man. My girl, man.
Really?
Nah, see.
Come on, man. Babe, no, I like Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson's my guy.
He's cool.
I like Jimmy Johnson.
He's most people love the people who took care of them in the big house. Yeah,
there you go.
I'm just saying. End of the day, I just know my rights. And my rights say, no, man, Terry don't like the UCEF, UNICEF. He don't give to that Negro College Fund like you think he should.
No, man, I think Terry Bradshaw's fine.
All right, all right.
That Howie right. Long.
Now Howie's cool.
Then what is cool about Howie and yet not about Terry?
Because Howie sits closer to the black guy than the other two do.
He sat next to Ronnie Lott. He's sitting next to
Strahan.
Strahan. You know who they have for Strahan? Yeah. Who they have for Strahan?
I know the other dude who went over to.
Well, Terry sits next to Menifee, and Terry sits next to, look sits how far, next to James
well,
Brown.
Well, Terry, if you notice, Terry's closer to Long now. There's a distance between Brown. It was always been a distance between Brown and Menifee when it came
man.
To. All right. Terry
Come
don't
on.
Touch his hand. Terry don't touch the football. Terry don't touch the football after Strahan grabs it. If you look at the promo commercial, Strahan's flipping the football. He tries to toss it to Terry. Terry act like he don't have the hands to catch it. Oh, we'll lose.
It's
I didn't know.
Dark on. Come on, man.
I only
he played with Mean Joe Green. How could he possibly?
He don't touch them dudes.
Franco
man.
Harris.
What's your point? When he won that Super Bowl or whatever, he didn't
four
jump.
Four of them.
And when he did, he didn't jump in one black dude's air and say, catch me. He didn't say that.
He ran to Jack Ham. Jack, don't let them touch me. Stupid. You're stupid.
He
don't
poured
him
to A. Jack.
Hey, Terry Bradshaw is okay with
don't
me.
Don't let a dog hand me my champ ring. They leave tarnish on it.
Stop it. No.
Okay. Whatever.
No. All right.
Hey, are these diamonds from their house. I like their country's diamonds.
Okay.
That's
well, let
do.
Me. Okay. Since you got on that, let me ask you this though.
Okay.
Especially you play basketball. You've been in plenty of locker rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your feeling about the word nigga? And in a locker room in a mixed environment.
Here's the thing. When I've played and had a locker room, you know, it's always a locker room is a closed thing within the people in that room. Nobody, no, nothing gets in. I mean, nothing gets in and definitely nothing gets out. We, mm-hmm. Hey man, yeah, I was with old girl and blah, blah, blah. Don't tell my wife, whatever. I mean, at
right.
That time, girlfriend.
Yeah, I got
stuff.
You.
But I've never been in a locker room where there was a mixed type of environment. I've always played around my people
right.
You know, now on the court, yeah, I've played against everybody. I played against
right.
White guys. Now
okay,
when we
so,
were on the court,
so has anyone threw a racial epithet at
always,
you while playing?
They always do that. I mean,
try to get you out your game.
Exactly.
So
but,
do you think they mean it, or do you think they just trying to psychologically get you out your game?
I don't know if they mean it, or I don't. I mean, it's a different time now. Like it could be at a like if it was a time like during the during, you know, where racism was at its all time high, you playing the white team, then
hey,
I would, I
no.
mean,
okay,
I could see, but I'm just saying now I don't know. I mean, like, but at a point when it's, if I'm against you and you want to say all these things, my point of, I don't want to get thrown out the game.
Right.
I don't want to, you know, cause a right. fight with this dude. I have to because I love this
and it
sport.
Is a strategy.
It is
because
a strategy.
Because if I can
right.
look, if you're the best person on that team, but you're susceptible to mental attack,
right?
I'm gonna say whatever it takes
to get you
to
out
get
your
you,
game,
and please swing on me,
right?
So I can get you ejected.
Exactly. That's
but
that's
that
strategy.
Don't mean what I'm saying. I actually mean I'm just trying to.
To get, I mean, but I've been in
so
games.
When they said that stuff after the game and you beat them or whatever, do they come up and say, hey, man, nice game?
I mean, a lot of times I've rarely came across, like, I've rarely played teams where, I mean, after the game you all shake up or whatever the case may be. But I've rarely played teams where after something like that went down where we shake. I mean, where especially when it came, like, to different teams of different race.
Okay.
I mean, when black guys playing against black guys, we say you can't believe half the stuff that's being said
yeah.
on that court when you're
yeah.
playing.
But that's under the moniker of family talk.
Right.
And you know, I believe family talk is real. Caucasians get around Caucasians, and they can, hey, you Irish this, you Italian that.
And
they do that.
Hispanics get around Hispanics, and all of, hey, you're Mexican, nah, you Puerto Rican, blah 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 blah.
Right.
I work with a cat who's a Puerto Rican, and I work with a cat who's Mexican. Both of them straight up cool guys, man. I love working with these guys,
right.
And they rib each other with Mexican Puerto Rican, and some of the stuff be funny, and they be laughing, so I laugh. But I'm not finna join in.
All right,
I
give
think
me
they
a
have a
dogs.
Family talk. Right,
exactly.
I have enough respect for both of these men. I'm not. I don't. I feel. I don't want to go in there. Yeah, here's a beef and bean burrito joke. No,
right.
I'm not doing
right.
that.
Right, because the minute they say watermelon, you're
right.
gonna. You're
and
gonna.
These, but these guys are cool. If we even if they said that, I would be. You know.
Right.
I would be cool, but I'm not doing that
because
out of
respect for them.
Right.
Right, exactly. And that's cool, man. I mean, it is family talk, but see, the thing is, what I mean, you can't, if you're on a court with another black guy, he says, hey, you know, whatever.
Right,
I'm going to
shut you
really
down.
Gonna,
right.
It's not going to do nothing. What they do is black people go into your mama, your sisters. Yeah, and especially if you know the dude and you know he's done something to your sister, your cousin,
yeah,
they would get in. It gets,
yeah.
I believe nobody can get at you worse than your own people when it comes to a sport like that. Like getting called that word, the N-word, I don't, getting called a ninja or whatever by a white guy on the court, don't faze me because I'm like, ha, I'm finna bust your ass.
I'm finna dunk on
right.
you. Right.
And now my nuts in your face. Like, that's my life when it comes to that. They can't, because even when they say, hey, man, your mom is this, that don't affect me. But if I'm playing G-Ron and them, and G-Ron like, yeah, man, so your sister got that fat ass today, and you like, hey, man. Cool out, bro. Like,
right.
It's right. something because part of you believes, like, you don't believe, and this might be wrong to say, I don't believe the Caucasian can come at my sister or come at my
but
mom.
G-Ron was just at the party.
Exactly.
And he just got a new Mustang.
And was your sister wound up twerking on G-Ron, and you at G-Ron's across.
Especially
from
if
you.
It's something that's true.
Exactly. Hey, man. Didn't know your sister ass was that soft. Like, that gets to you. And what's crazy
right.
is because I've done it. Like,
right,
I've done
right.
things like that. But it's all, when the game's over, we can say, all right, man, yo, that was cool, whatever. But it's been times where the game's been over, and we was like, hey, bro, nah, man, my good, bro. Right. Which
right.
said, don't coach.
That wasn't cool.
That
right.
wasn't cool. But, right. I mean... For the most part, everybody knows. If you play a sport, you have to know that things are going to be said to you, things are going to be done to you.
Yeah.
Things are going to happen. Like I've been grabbed
on the battlefield.
Yeah.
I shouldn't expect it from my teammate.
True, you shouldn't. But at the same time, you know, I'm like, when I'm on the team, you're supposed to be brothers. Y'all supposed to be
right.
brothers and locker.
But in the case of the like the, and we are in the locker room, we brothers. That's why so many black players stood up for Incognito.
Right.
And to me, them standing up and taking up for him was saying, yeah, he's done everything we allowed him to do. He didn't break code. He didn't cross the line because we allow him this right. And I have a problem with the black professional player for that then. If you create a locker room where he can say that all day long because you don't have the discipline not to say it, like we used to work together.
Right.
We had Caucasians in the tent. We splicing up this, that, we working. We didn't talk to each other in the same way we talk to each other when we by ourselves.
Right, right.
Because we don't want to invite somebody
to say,
to
oh, it's
say
cool.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. The thing I was about to say, though, was if they created that environment for that man, and I mean, like I said, getting back to the battlefield joint, we're warriors together once we're on the field.
Yes.
In that locker room, you got people who hate each other. Like,
yes.
like it was people in the locker
yes.
room I could
yes.
not stand. But yes. I
Sammy
had to,
Sosa.
Yeah.
So
like,
you talk about them Cubs. They hated Sammy Sosa in the locker room.
Right. But,
and when he quit on them, they tore his locker up and broke his radio up. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But see, that's the thing. Like I said, it was this one dude. You know, I'm definitely not going to give his name. because I might have people I play with that know this guy.
Right.
And it was this one dude, we was competitive about who was going to be the star. Like, that just, that, and I'm better than you. And it, we got to 101s, to everything was combative to a point like we did not like each other. But once we got on the court,
we respected
each other to a point where nobody could stop us. Like, we knew we hated each other in that room, but on the court, we're giving the ball to each other. We throwing oops to each other and everything like that because we both got a common goal as to we want to win. We both, it wasn't necessarily about us being competitive with each other. We just literally did not like each other. We didn't like each other's lifestyle. My lifestyle was different from his,
right.
His lifestyle, and we just literally culture clashed. We hated each other.
Now, let me ask you this then. Since you've been out of school for a while now, have you ran up on dude and have you tried to make contact with him? Because I would be interested to see, considering how y'all lives has come out now, if y'all would not be cool with each other now. Because there's been dudes that I'm not cool with during a particular time.
Mm-hmm.
Part ways, time goes by, people mature, and I'm running into them again and actually been cool.
Yeah, I mean, I bumped into him on Facebook. I guess you could say it was a big group thing about our old high school, and he joined in. He was like, "Yo, D, what's up?" And I'm like, "Yo, what's up, E?" And we chatted, you know, it was like, and we joked about the times before, like, man, at that time, man, I wanted to knock yo. And we was like, "Yeah, I almost tripped you that day," and blah, blah, blah. He was like, "Man," then after we went through that, started talking about how we were on the court, like, man,
right.
But at the same time, though, we was killing. And we was like, yeah, dude, it's like that, man. Yeah, but, you know, everybody, you know, we was young. We both said, yo, we was young. We, you know, we was both competitive, and we both wanted to. Truthfully, at that point, I felt like I was the god of that. And he felt like he was the god of that. And it was the war of the gods. Like, it truly was Thor and Loki to a point like there can only be one.
Right.
And it was great competition. I believe dude brought the best out of me, and sometimes that's what you need to somebody
to
make you great. You have to have somebody who's either as good as you or possibly better than you to make you great. And, you know, like, I mean, this was 4 years. Just back and forth, dude. I've done this and I've done that and whatever. So, I mean, he set a bar for me. I set a bar for him. We both said that. We was like, dude, I didn't want to tell you at the time, but you set a bar. It was that game where you did this, and that was like, man, damn, I like it, but he'll never know. And I was like, yeah, dude, I remember you caught this dunk, tip dunk. And I was like, damn, if I was in the game, I probably could have did that, but, you know, whatever. And, we had dunk contests and everything, man, to try to show who was better.
Right.
And, you know, it's like right now, this is one who I thought he was going pro, because after my situation at the college I went to and blew out knees and all this other stuff, I knew mine. I was like, okay, that's it. I got to give up on this. He kept it going, but his lifestyle that he lived wound up taking him away from that sport that he really – we both said we should have been in the league. We both said this, and we said we should have been playing against each other in the league and had this great backstory that we could have told on E-True Story one day.
Right.
That would have been great. But, you know, time and everything went past, and, you know, we both went our own paths. But he's a cool dude now. I mean, he learned from it. It made him a better person. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Good. That's
it's about life, man. Plus, he never got my girl.
Right. All right. So, what you looking forward to for January?
For this,
season 3.
I'm looking forward to all of the new things we're doing. I'm looking forward to these new pictures. I'm looking forward to our new look. I'm looking forward to our new break that we're bringing that's going to show why we should stand alone in what we do next year, and why I think that we're going to, if they did have a category on the Jordan McHale show about most improved show or whatever, I think we should take that. And this is just
next
me talking.
Year.
Yeah, oh, definitely next year. Definitely. So we putting it out there on notice. We should, I mean, we're coming back hard. And if you're not ready, something's wrong with you.
Agree. January 6th, we'll be back live. All new topics. We got a lot of guests we're lining up for 2014. Really looking forward to it. New studios. We got nothing to focus on but the show.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got new personal breaks we're doing coming out. If you love Mama Saw G's and Toes, we got other stuff we're going to be doing. So definitely be on the lookout for that. And, yeah, we're ready. So.
Definitely agreed. So we're going to wrap this up. And we're going to let you know you're not listening to the truth, brother.
Then the truth ain't in you.
Peace, y'all.
Two fingers.